everyone. My name is Councillor Nick DeBoer. I now call this Planning and Development Committee meeting to order. Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from staff in the clerk's office. Please ensure all cell phones are turned off or in silent. Are there any members of council who have a disclosure to pecuniary interests? No, thank you. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I will read out the titles with the associated items on the agenda. Members of the Planning and Development Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be discussed further. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. The first person on the list will be given an opportunity to speak first on the item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place at the meeting, and the recommendation will go forward to Council for their consideration at the next meeting. Okay, staff report 2018-11, official plan zoning amendment applications, Lafarge Canada Inc. proposed Lambier Pit, 18251 McLaren, asked to be held by Councillor Befford. Heritage report dated January 15th, 2018, approved on consent. Recommendation from Heritage Caledon regarding request for part four designation, Moffat Schoolhouse, 6500 Patterson Side Road, approved on consent. Recommendation from Heritage Caledon regarding request to list non-designated property on Heritage Register, Trinity Anglican Church, 3515 King Street, Councillor Groves. Recommendation for Heritage Caledon regarding federal action on conservation of heritage properties, approved on consent. I will now move into the public meeting portion of this evening's agenda. The purpose of the public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning an application. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the application being heard should be directed to the town's clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification regarding the applications is advised to clearly print their name and address on the appropriate notification list located at the table at the entrance to the council chambers. Following each presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name and address for the public record, providing their comments. If you have a presentation material, please provide a copy of it to the council coordinator on the desk to your left, and please note that any information submitted tonight will form part of the town's record. Following public comments, members of the council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding the information contained within the presentation. Please note that council members are here to listen to the comments of the public and are not here to provide an opinion or to debate the matter. We will now move into the first public meeting for application for draft plan subdivision, draft plan of condominium zoning bylaw 21T-16003C, 21CDM, 16002C and RZ 16-06-9023-5 Side Road, Bolton, part lot concession 7 in Albion. I will now ask Mary Nordstrom, Senior Development Planner, Community Services, to confirm that the notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for the public meeting this morning, tonight.
Yes, Chair DeBoer, a notice of the public meeting was mailed to all landowners within 120 meters of the property, and notification was placed in both the Caledon Enterprise and Caledon Citizen in accordance with the Planning Act.
Thank you, Ms. Nordstrom. I will now call upon Jennifer Mistey, an intermediate planner, and Keith McKinnon, partner of KLM Planning, to begin their presentation. Carry on.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, staff, members of the public. My name is Keith McKinnon. I'm with KLM Planning Partners, Inc. Also, as mentioned earlier, on my right is Jennifer Mastery from our office. We are here this evening on behalf of Villa Lago Residence, Inc., care of Treasure Hill Homes. So we have filed a zoning bylaw amendment application, draft plan of subdivision application, and a draft plan of common element condominium application for the subject property is noted as 9023 Fifth Side Road, I won't go through the long legal description, but generally it is on the east side of Highway 50, west side of Landsbridge, south of the Shoppers Drug Mart, and which would also facilitate the extensions of Stella Crescent and Queensland Crescent as well. One of the things you'll note throughout our presentation with the boundary of the plan is the Fifth Side Road, which, as you know today, is a existing dirt road, which is on our northerly limit of our property line. So through discussions with staff, when we filed our application, the request was made to have the Fifth Side Road included in our application. Although not currently today owned by a Villa Lago residence, the application has been filed with the municipality to seek ownership of the Fifth Side Road, and which will form part of the development lands. With that portion of the Fifth Side Road, and as well there is a daylight triangle that's owned by the region, the site area is approximately about 3.2 hectares in size. So the secondary plan for the Bolton Hill, South Hill secondary plan designates the subject property in two different land use categories. The first one, which is the northerly half, which is the brown area that you see in the property, it's designated as high density residential. And the wording that's used in the secondary plan is actually quite permissive, where it seeks to may permit high-rise residential uses. So it doesn't actually give specific typologies of housing forms. It just says may permit high-density or high-rise residential uses. The southerly portion is in the mixed low/medium-density residential designation. That does have specific typologies of which are permitted as part of that designation, which include single-family, semi-detached, link, street, and end-block townhouse units. So we've also provided on the slide the general density targets that they seek to achieve generally for these two designations. So the high-density residential you see is generally between 49.4 to 85, and the mixed low slash medium is 16 to 24.8. So what you'll see here is the proposed density for the brown area that we have is 47.6. So it is a little lower than the may require 49.4 units per hectare as set out in the secondary plan. And the reason for that is we've tried to provide a housing form that's really contiguous and compatible with those that are in the existing neighborhood today. Anything higher than that we felt was getting away from that principle. So that was a main objective in relation to the density for that portion. Then the southerly half, we're right in sort of what I would call the sweet spot of the density, being 19.7 units per hectare. So here we have an aerial photo overlaid with the proposed development plan. So just a couple of notes here, obviously the site area. In total, we have approximately 116 units that's proposed here, and that's broken down as follows. And I will try and do my best here to identify which is which, both to the members of the public and to members of committee. So the first one is outlined as a single detached dwelling unit. So that's this one here. I don't know if you want me to, that's this one here. We have two blocks of semi-detached dwellings. So that's those here. So that's in between Queensland and Stella. We have one block of seven units, which are freehold townhouse units. So that's these ones here on the north side of Queensland. And then the balance, which is 104, are common element condo townhouse units. Also, as part of this development, we have a private amenity space, or a parquette. Given the requirements of a setback to the CP rail line, we have a 30-meter building setback, so that's why you don't see any buildings directly adjacent to the CP rail line. So we meet the 30-meter minimum requirement for that. The internal road for the common element condo townhouses would be a private common element laneway. And then, of course, with the extension of Queensland and Stella, those would be public roads. So that's the general built form and type of development that we are proposing before General Committee this evening, or Planning Committee, I should say, sorry. Here is a conceptual elevation that we have. We also had this on a slide out for public to see beforehand. And what this is, if I may just go back. So the two blocks of units here that are in the northeast that front onto Landsbridge, that would be these two units here. So that's to give you a good idea of not only what the built form is to look like, but also the materials and colors. Obviously, each building is not going to be exactly the same because we don't want them to be exactly the same. You want some variety to happen throughout this community. But this gives you a good example of what it would look like along the Landsbridge frontage. So here is the existing zoning on the left-hand side of the slide and then our proposed zoning on the right-hand slide. So the existing zoning that's there today is the Prestige Industrial Zone. It's got a site-specific provision to it. And of course, we have filed a zoning bylaw amendment application to permit the type of townhouses that we are proposing on the subject lands. One thing I just would like to note, Jennifer and I were noticing today when we were going through the materials beforehand, is the single detached dwelling that's proposed here on Stella. We had originally proposed to put that in the R2 zone, and what we think we might do in discussions with staff is likely put that into the R1 zone category, which would be exactly what's on the east side of the existing residence. So in that way, you have a compatible zone category between the two. This is a topic of discussion that's come up through our many reviews and discussions we've had with staff is in relation to age-friendly design options. So my clients have pulled their hair out and reviewed every such option that they could possibly come up with the type of design that we are looking for within this development. And what we have come up with is what we think would be a great option for those that choose to select it, is that about 60% of the units that are in this project will have a provision for an elevator, and that way that will allow the age-friendly, so someone that may be younger to move into the family could certainly age into the home later on, obviously providing that they select the elevator option before it's constructed, because it's pretty hard to do afterwards. But that is one of the option that we've looked at to try and meet the objective of having age-friendly design within this community. So with that, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee or the general public may have.
Thank you very much. If you want to just take a seat here, if there are any
questions.
Are there any members of the public who have any comments this evening? Okay. Any members of council have any questions? Councillor Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your presentation. Just one question relating to the construction traffic, because I know that once you start construction, we're going to get those questions and we're going to get those phone calls. during your servicing, when you're servicing the site, I guess that's where you'll bring in most of your heavy equipment and that type of vehicular traffic. So my thoughts on it would be better for you to be able to come in off of 50 so that you can service the site off of 50, because right now that fifth side road, there's a right in, right out that the region allows. So is that something that you're considering?
I couldn't agree more. The only issue, as you probably very well know, is that public authority to public authority, access to Highway 50 is not a problem. As soon as it changes ownership to private entity, access to a regional right-of-way is generally a no-no. So we would love, and we are going to continue to push as hard as we certainly can to keep an access on the Highway 50 for construction. Mm-hmm. But bearing that the region appeal, if they come back and say absolutely over their dead body that there is no access to Highway 50, then our second option is that we would have a construction access immediately at the northeast corner of our site. So where the fifth side road currently today intersects with Landsbridge Drive, that would be our construction access.
Okay.
And then construction would happen from north to south.
Right. So just for the record and to staff, just to make sure that those comments are reflective in when we're talking to the region appeal. And certainly I'm happy to help facilitate any kind of conversation or discussion with regional staff, Vice Chair of Public Works down there. And frankly, I would much rather see that type of heavy construction traffic coming off of Highway 50. So I'm happy to have those conversations with staff at the region, because I know the residents are not going to be happy if it's coming off of Landsbridge. So, yep. Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Befford?
Yes. You mentioned the rail line and the fact that you couldn't build close. Do I take it that there's sufficient barricade to the rail line? Is that done by the rail company or is that done by yourself?
So as part of our requirement to meet the 30-meter minimum setback, we're also going to have an earthen berm that will be along that the edge, only of which that abuts directly to the CP rail line.
I say that because I think prior to it being developed, people kind of walk along there and sneak across the tracks. So I
right.
just want to make sure.
Yeah, it will certainly be severely restricted when we're done.
Councillor Mezzavelli.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Just wanted to follow along with the questioning Councillor Groves had, and certainly I would agree with her. I think you've got a road there already, and it allows you to take at least some traffic out of the internal network of the existing subdivision and get access, even albeit that it's right in, right out, off of Highway 50. I think you mentioned it. What was the rationale from the region as to why?
I was saying that when it becomes a private entity, so when the Fifth Side Road actually changes ownership from the Town of Caledon to Villa Lago Residences, that there's usually a propensity for regional municipalities to not allow access once it becomes under private ownership. So because of that, generally when we ask for things as consultants on behalf of land developers for regional access, we get shot down pretty quick. So because it's an existing municipal entity, there is no issue. But once it becomes into private entity ownership, there's usually a problem. But we would love nothing better than to have access off Highway 50, not only for construction purposes, but also for sales office location as well.
Okay. And I trust the region will be reasonable on this and see that that makes good sense. But the question I have is, in the case that it is a sticking point, and I certainly would prefer that you incorporate the Fifth Side Road into your development early on as you move forward, but is it possible that the town retain ownership to allow that construction traffic to happen and then switch ownership? I'm just wondering, as a plan B, if that's feasible or was given any thought.
We haven't investigated that. I think it may create some issues in relation to planning approvals, specifically related to the draft plan of subdivision, where right now, like, we would need to have the Town of Caledon sign the draft plan of subdivision as an owner of the land, of a portion of the land, and then my client sign the draft plan for the balance of the land. So there might be some issues there related to how we could possibly do that. To say that we're not open for looking at solutions would be incorrect, because we're absolutely open, but it's just, you know, can we get through the process and ensure that, you know, the town gets exactly what they need and that my client also, interests are protected as well.
Okay, now, and valid point. Let's just hope Plan A works, and there's no question it will have a much less impact on the existing community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. The only question I have is lending support to the idea of having the entrance, a construction entrance, off of Highway 50. We ran into it, and there is an example where we managed to get the region to come along on King and Coleraine, so that they didn't have to go through an entirely finished subdivision, and this is a similar situation. Mm-hmm. So, especially for the construction cycle. So,
well, we would love an early Christmas present, if there was one, that if we could have access to Highway 50, so we'd certainly encourage every member of council to speak to your regional counterparts to have that succeed. We'd be all over that.
The regional counterparts are here.
I know. I'm trying not to look, you know, I'm trying to focus everywhere as opposed to just my regional folks here. So.
Well, I guess we do. Normally, we do have them spread around. Okay. if there's no further questions, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will close this portion of the public meeting, and we'll move to the second public meeting application tonight for the proposed zoning bylaw amendment, RZ 17-12-20, 22, and 24, Simona Drive, Part 1, Plan 43M, 1659, Parts 2 to 4, 43R 33994. I will now ask Christina DiBenedetto.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Community Planner Development Coordinator. For, has the notification been done in conducted in accordance with the Planning Act?
Through you, Chair DeBoer. Notice was provided as per the Planning Act by written notification to landowners within 120 meters of the subject property. Notice within the town newspapers and notice on the town's website.
Thank you, Ms. DiBenedetto. I will now call upon Michael Merritt, Minette, planner of M Plan Inc., to begin his presentation.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of committee, and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Michael Minette from M Plan Inc., and I'm here tonight with my planner, Josh Lachitis, who's been responsible for the most part for the file. This application is for rezoning to add additional uses to an existing development that is at the northeast corner of Simona Drive and Pillsworth Road. The buildings were constructed in 2015, and the reason we're here for a rezoning application is to add to the permitted uses on the site in order to provide for the full development of the site. Right now, the site's about 50% vacant, and Northwest Holdings is our client, Mr. Bob Inman, who I'm sure you're familiar with, and he's been having trouble leasing the site, so we're looking for additional uses just to be able to fulfill the requirements of having a completed site. And we'll now go through our presentation, and Mr. Chittis will present that. Following that, we'd be happy to answer any questions. And we have received comments from some of the departments and agencies. Our intention is to hear any input we receive tonight and then come back with a comprehensive response and meet with staff to finalize any additional material we need to file for the full application to complete it. Thank you.
So the property is located at the northeast corner of Simona Drive and Pillsworth Road. And the site plan is currently existing. There's three buildings. There's building A, B, and C. Building C is the only building that's currently completely occupied, and that has automotive-related uses within it. To go over what Mike said before, it's the application for a site-specific zoning bylaw amendment to permit additional commercial-related uses. I told you about the property location, and the surrounding land uses are highway, commercial, and industrial. The property was developed in 2015 with three buildings, and there's a total GFA of 2,648 square meters. 98 parking spaces are provided. There are no physical changes planned to the building on the site. No official plan amendment is required in order to accommodate the proposed additional uses. Here's a chart outlining the current space usage. So there's three buildings, 20, 22, and 24 Simona Drive. On the far end column, you'll see the vacant space. There is a bit of a typo with the 24 Simona Drive. That should be zero vacancy. The current uses are listed at the bottom of the slide. 20 Simona Drive has a place of entertainment and business office. 22 Simona Drive has a business office and a restaurant. And 24 Simona Drive is a motor vehicle repair facility. The purpose of the application is to permit additional businesses that have expressed interest in operating at this location in Bolton. The existing development has a number of vacancies. 61% of the leasable commercial space in the two commercial buildings are vacant due to the limited number of permitted uses. The purpose of the proposed zoning bylaw is to increase the number of uses permitted to accommodate additional businesses wishing to locate at the subject site. The planning context, the site is designated a rural service center in the region of Peel's official plan. It's designated prestige industrial in the town of Caledon's official plan. And zoned Bolton Highway Commercial in the town of Caledon's zoning bylaw. And again, there is no regional official plan amendment required or a municipal official plan amendment required. So the proposed zoning bylaw amendment is looking to allow for additional uses, including the following: clinic, day nursery, financial institution, funeral preparation center, personal service shop, prayer center, and retail store. And it also provides for a blended parking rate of 4 spaces per 100 square meters of GFA for 20 and 22 Simona, and there's 8 spaces dedicated to 24, which is agreed upon by a separate agreement. The justification for the zoning for the proposal: the proposed additional uses are complement and are similar to the uses already permitted on the site. The proposed additional uses are consistent with the intent and purpose of the official plan of the town of Caledon, and a parking study confirmed that there are sufficient parking spaces provided for the current and proposed permitted uses based on the town's parking requirement. The next steps, we're going to review all the feedback received tonight and comments received from council staff and the public, and we'll address it through a comprehensive response for the town to review and bring the application to a future committee of the whole meeting. And then here are just some site photos. That's 20 Simona Drive. That's 22 Simona Drive and the parking lot and sign there. And that's the 24 Simona Drive, which is the automobile-related uses. We'll now take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any comments from the members of the public here this evening? Seeing none, any members of council have any questions? Seeing none, okay. I will now close this portion of public meeting. Thank you very much, Ethan. Okay, and I'll move now to delegations. We'll now call Richard. We'll now call upon Richard Burnett to approach Barnett to approach the podium to provide a delegation concerning staff report 2018-11, official plan and zoning bylaw amendment application, Lafarge Canada, proposed Lime Beer Pit, 18251 McLaren Road, Ward 1. And please note, according to the procedural bylaw, you provided 10 minutes for your delegation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of council, good evening. My name is Richard Barnett. I'm a permanent resident on the west side of Green Lake. My residence is immediately adjacent to the proposed Lime Beer Pit, and I'm here this evening for the purpose of representing the Green Lake Property Owners Association. Green Lake is a unique spring-fed kettle lake which has been formed by glacial activity, for those who might not be familiar with Green Lake. For more than 60 years, there's been a long-established lake community which is made up of both year-round and part-time residents. The Green Lake Property Owners Association, or GLOPA, is a registered corporation. A little over 8 years ago, myself and two other association members, Mr. Dave Irwin and Mr. Murray Morrison, were asked by the association to begin discussions with Lafarge regarding their application to mine the Lime Bear property. As such, Lafarge provided us with an overview of the pit application, and after careful review of the document, the Green Lake Properties Owner Association filed an official objection to the pit application and proposed license. As a result of our objections, the meetings with Lafarge continued for more than 8 years in an effort to resolve the outstanding concerns. And during the ongoing discussions with Lafarge, I also met with Mayor Thompson regarding our objections to the pit application. I regularly spoke with and met with Councillor Befford, Councillor Shaughnessy, and former Councillor Ian Sinclair, who was most helpful in explaining to us, the association, the history of gravel in Caledon. As a result of our meetings with Lafarge over that more than 8 years, several revisions were made to the original Lime Beer Pit application, and in November of 2017, I'm pleased to announce that members of our association unanimously accepted the agreement put forth by Lafarge. All the members of our association signed off on the proposed agreement. And therefore, on behalf of the Green Lake Property Owners Association, I'm here this evening to officially withdraw our original objection to the Lime Beer Pit application. In closing, I'd like to thank Council for giving us the opportunity of speaking this evening, and everyone's help on Council, including Mary Thompson, for their help during this procedure.
So. Thank you very much, Mr. Barnett. Do any members of the Council have any questions? Mayor Thompson?
Just one question.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say you guys are, I have to say thank you for working with the group. And I think you've set a new standard in Caledon. So we may be calling on you. So maybe it's not a question, but on how to do things. And I want to thank Lafarge as well, working with you, because that's what it's all about. You talk about the social conscience. That's what it's about.
Yes, so. I would agree, Mr. Mayor. And say that our discussions over the 8 years with Lafarge, they were very reasonable to deal with. They didn't achieve everything they wanted to achieve, nor did we, but the resolve was we considered to be reasonable. And it's hoped that this extraction process will be more or less the poster boy, the standard going forward of how this process can take place immediately adjacent to not only residents, but this pristine lake that is that's been there since the Ice Age.
Yeah.
We're pleased with the agreement and with the goings-on and dealings with Lafarge themselves. They've all been quite professional.
Well, thank you for doing what you did.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And there's no further questions. And I'll call upon Brian Zeman, president of MHBC Planning, Urban Design and Landscape Architect, to approach the podium, provide delegation concerning staff report 2018-11, official plan and zoning bylaw amendment application, Lafarge Canada Inc. proposed Lime Beer Pit, 18251 McLaren Road, Ward 1. Please note, according to the procedure bylaw, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Mayor Thompson, members of council, staff, and members of the public. My name is Brian Zeman, a land use planner with MHBC, and I'm here tonight with representatives from Lafarge. This evening, we are here in seeking committee support for staff's recommendation as outlined in staff report 2018-11. This recommendation is the result of over 8 years of work with the Green Lake Property Owners Association and over 5 years of work with the various government agencies, which resulted in all the agency comments being addressed. And as you just heard, the Green Lake Property Owners Association's concerns being resolved. I did have a presentation this evening for committee, which I understand has been filed now as information for committee. So I just wanted to thank Caledon staff for their thorough review and detailed staff report, which did outline how the various items had been addressed throughout the process. And I'd also, on behalf of Lafarge and myself personally, I would like to thank members of the Green Lake Property Owners Association for the diligent work over the years. It was a tremendous process and a great outcome, and so we thank you for your effort in coming to the table. Again, we're just here hopeful, seeking committee support for staff's recommendation, and if you do have any questions, I'd be pleased to answer them. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for members of council? No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is the staff report. I'll need a mover and a seconder. Staff report 2017-5 regarding official plan zoning bylaw amendment application Lafarge Canada proposed Lime Beer Pit, 18251 McLaren Road. I have a mover, Doug, and seconded by Mayor Thompson. Mr. Bedford, Doug, you asked for it to be held.
Yes, I actually asked it to be held for one reason, and that's to say thank you. It's already been said, but I knew that would happen, but I'd like to congratulate the Green Lake Association and Mal and Lafarge and all of the people that have worked on this. Brandon always does such a super job of putting things together, and we really appreciate that. For those of you who don't know, Green Lake is just west of the village of Caledon. If you look to the south before you get to the town dump, you will see a nice, long, beautiful lake. It's been there for years, and I have a quick story. Alex Rayburn, who used to be a counselor here, still has his family a cottage on Green Lake. Alex was a regional counselor, and he had a rule. On Friday afternoons, he could not go to meetings because he had to go to the cottage. And for years, people thought that when he went going to the cottage, that he'd be going somewhere up to the Muskokas. And it wasn't until a month before he retired that he said to folks, why don't you come to my cottage for lunch on the last day? And of course, they were all confused because they thought they were going to drive up to Bracebridge or somewhere. And when he finally told them where it was, he took the gears because for years he had Friday afternoons off. So Green Lake has got a little bit of a history, and I really appreciate the work that the folks have done. This is really record-breaking. You've done a really great job, and I just want to thank you.
Okay. All in favor? Carried. The next item on the agenda is the recommendation from Heritage Caledon regarding the request to list the non-designated property on Heritage Registry, Trinity Anglican Church, 3515 King Street. Need a mover? Councillor Downey and a seconder. You didn't need a seconder. Oh, okay, Councillor Innes. Okay, and Councillor Groves asked for it to be held.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. Have we been in touch through you to staff, been in touch with the property owner to let them know?
Through your chair to board of Councillor Groves, they actually requested it, so they do know.
Oh, good. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
All in favor? Carried. That's it. This concludes the meeting. Oh, wait. Hang on. Was there any correspondence? Okay, there were two items of correspondence. They're just for information. Does anybody need to want request? No. Okay. So now it's concluded for sure. Planning and Development Committee. Thanks.